Father, thank you for all you've been doing in the course of this conference. Thank you for what you will do now and afterwards. Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory. We are persuaded that lives that have come under this atmosphere will never remain the same again. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to fellowship with you and to receive of your word, your wisdom, and your counsel, and on the strength of that, make war and procure victory in our lives. Take all the praise, take all the glory, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated. God bless you. I'm going to be sharing very briefly with us this morning, and then allow us to pray again, even as we see God touch people, change their stories. Those on ground, those online, the Lord bless you, the Lord increase you, the Lord furnish you with greater understanding of His word, even as He gives you an advantage in life. The reason we teach God's word like this is to equip the body, to equip the believer for the work of the ministry. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11, He said, to some He gave to be apostles, to some He gave to be prophets, to some He gave to be evangelists, to some He gave to be pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, the work of the ministry is not only within the four walls of the church. The work of the ministry actually is to be carried out in your spheres of influence. In Matthew 28 from verse 18, Jesus appeared to His disciples after resurrection and He said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He said, you go in that power and make disciples of all nations. So the work of the ministry is actually not in church. The work of the ministry is out there in your workplaces, in your spheres of influence. That's where you actually do the work of the ministry. In fact, in Mark chapter 16, verse 22, the Bible said, they went out and the Lord walking with them, confirming His words with signs and with wonders following. So if you are in the business world, if you are on the internet space, if you are in the legal world, if you are in the crypto market, wherever you find yourself, make sure you impact that word, dominate that word, subdue that word, and bring the glory of God there. Praise the name of the Lord. This is why we are teaching what we are teaching. And I believe somebody will leave this conference not just fired up to go and pray, but he will leave this conference fired up to go make a difference in his or her sphere of influence in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And so this morning I want to talk to us briefly on the place of character in making impact. The place of character in making impact, especially national impact. I'll be reading some scriptures to you as we proceed. And then I'll be saying some things that will inspire you to really make a difference in your world. So we'll talk briefly about character, and then I'll tell you the advantages of building and sustaining the right character. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, Jesus was on earth, let me put it that way, for 30 years and He did no sign. He did no wonder. For 30 years, scriptures never revealed that He opened blind eyes, opened deaf ears, caused cripples to walk. In those 30 years, He was growing, the Bible said, in wisdom, in favor, and the grace of God was upon Him. So in 30 years, Jesus was growing. He didn't just become, He grew in favor, in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon Him. That means the virtues of God were made manifest through Him. So it took Jesus 30 years to develop character as a man. And after building character for 30 years, in 3.5 years, He took the world by storm. That means 1 year of manifestation is equivalent to 10 years of character. That's the ratio. 10 years of character. That means character is more important than manifestation. Manifestation may be more powerful in making impact, but the foundation of every manifestation is character. That's why you have 9 gifts of the Spirit, you also have 9 fruits of the Spirit. Because if there is no character at the foundation of what you are doing, you will be wasted. And if you have studied the life of Jesus carefully, you will realize it's more difficult to build character than to build manifestation. Because he went to the wilderness for 40 days, fasted and prayed, and immediately the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. So in 40 days, power was already generated enough to affect his word. In fact, in Luke 4:14, he said his fame went abroad. He said his fame went all around the region. In verse 37 of that scripture, he said he went to all the country. So 40 years of prayer and fasting, there was enough power to cast out demons. There was enough power to generate fame. But it took 30 years of development to be able to stand in the gate and to sustain that glory. Now, we have a generation where everybody is pursuing signs and wonders, pursuing manifestation, and their character is so porous. When you talk to the man who just rose the dead 5 minutes ago, you will wonder whether it's the power of God is using or the power of a demon. Because his character will so disqualify what he has done that you will become skeptical about him. That's why in our world today, many times, people don't even value the most spectacular ministers. You look at them, they are doing all the manifestation, calling people's name, calling phone numbers, commanding people they fall down, commanding people they stand up. Yet when there are videos online, people say, forget those fake people. Because your manifestation will be useless if your character is not verified. That means before you pursue manifestation, make sure you have a very strong character upon which your manifestation is standing up. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 14, he said, you are the light of the world. A city set upon the hill that cannot be hid. Being the light of the world is not just coming to flow in word of knowledge or flow in power. It's actually coming to demonstrate the virtues of God that is alien to your generation. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, he said, you are a chosen generation, God's own special people, called forth to showcase the excellent virtues of God. He said in Obadiah chapter 1 verse 21, he said, Savior shall come forth from Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau. The word judge here is to show the mountains of Esau how to live and how to order their lives. So before we begin to talk about what you can do, we need to find out who are you. Because what you can do is about your manifestation. Who are you is about who you are. It's about the substance you are made of. In John chapter 1 from verse 11, he said, he came unto his own knew him not. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. The first power given to us was not over demons. The first power given to us was over our flesh. The first power given to us was to build us up to become right representatives of God in virtue and in nature. If the character is wrong, everything you do is already wrong. You will lead a generation in the wrong direction. A fornicator who is prophesying is only raising more fornicators. They may be wild at the gift, but there's a river being communicated. Watch them after 6 months. All of them may begin to prophesy, but the more they prophesy, the more lost in fornication they will be. Because we are not only communicating a gift, you are communicating the substance of your reality. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7, he said, we have loved you. He said, we are so affectionately desirous of you that we did not only teach you the gospel of Christ, we imparted you the very substance of our soul. And so because God knows that when you are talking to people or you are influencing people, you are not only bringing an innovation, you are also imparting your soul structure. He will insist that your character is first of all built before you are empowered to bring impact to your world. So character is at the foundation of impact. Character is at the foundation of nation building. Character is at the foundation of changing a people or transforming the generation. Praise the name of the Lord. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, let no man despise thy youth. He said, but be thou an example of the believer in words, in conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. If there is something wrong with your character, God himself will insist that you are not exhorted. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 to 7, he said, exhort not a novice. He said, lest he be lifted up in pride and he will fall into the condemnation of the devil. He said, the elder must be of good report amongst them that are without. That means your character should be so much aglow that even the hidden society will say, this man is a good man. This man has virtue. Because that is not about what you are worshipping. That is about who you are. The world should be able to see and say that this is a good man. He said that's the sign that you are ready to impact your world. No wonder the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 22 verse 1, he said a good name is better than silver and gold. That means a good name is better than any impact you have to give to your world. Because if your character is not so reflective that the world can attest of it, everything you are doing will be consistent to your character. At best, they will clap for you, but you will create more havoc than good. Have you not seen many churches? 10,000 people, 20,000 people come into the choir. It's a baggage of fornication. Enter the church. It's a congregation of liars, a congregation of fornicators. But every day, power is moving. Blind eyes are opening. Prophetic words are ongoing. But you cannot say these people are Christians. In fact, people run away from them. They say if you want your soul to be preserved, better not go there. How can you be told not to go to a place where the power of God is moving? Because you know that it's a charade. At the foundation of it is decadence and rottenness. You may be so gifted with wisdom to bring witty inventions. You may be so gifted with creativity, but if there's no character, sir, you are not impacting your world. You are taking your word backward. Because at the end of the day, everything that comes out of you will bear the signature of decadence that is the substance of your soul structure. And so if we truly want to impact our world, we must pay the price like Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27 to beat our bodies and bring our bodies under subjection. Praise the name of the Lord. When a man begins to build character, the first thing God does is that God empowers him. That's the first advantage of godly living, holy living. That's the first advantage of character. In Psalm 24 verse 3, it says, who shall stand upon the mountains of the Lord? Who shall ascend his holy hills? That means who will God give the opportunity to wield the scepter of authority? Who will God give visibility over a generation? Who will God give control of a people? Who will God allow authority to impact a generation? And the Bible began to tell us. He said, him that is of a clean hands, him that is of a pure heart, that have not lifted up his soul in vanity. That means if your hands are not clean, if your heart is not pure, if your heart is not in brokenness and humility, he said, God will be the one resisting you. That is why you may have all the creativity, but nobody will know you. That is why you have all the words, nobody will know you. That is why you have all the invention, nobody will take advantage of it. Because he said, if it's God, for God to exhort you over a generation, for God to give you authority over a generation, what God looks at is not what you can do, it's who you are. Is your hand clean? Is your heart pure? Is your soul lifted up in vanity? If all of these credentials are there, then God will exalt you over his heels. And remember what happens to a man that God have ascended or caused to ascend over his heels. What did the Bible say? In Micah chapter 4 verse 1, it said, all the nations will say, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us go to his holy hills. He said, for out of Zion proceeds the law. That means
where direction comes for the nations is on the mountains of God. And so the man who is on the mountain of God gives direction to the nations. He influences the nation. He inspires the nation. He tells the nations what to do. But who is the man that God will give the opportunity to stand on his holy mountains? Is the man that is of a clean hands. It's a man that is of a pure heart. So if you want to have authority to influence a generation, you want to have authority to influence a nation, what you should focus on is not God lift me. It's actually God purify me. Because if you are purified, there is one place God will keep you. It's upon the holy mountains of God. And if you are on the mountains of God, the nations of necessity will seek you, because you will be the one to give them direction. The Bible said God exalts the humble, but he said he resists the proud. He resists the proud. He giveth grace to the humble. What does grace do? Grace comes to cause you to stand out. It can come in form of wisdom. It can come in form of creativity. It can come in form of empowerment. That's what it means to stand on the mountain of God. There are many people today who are wondering why they have such a golden voice, yet nobody hears them. Because they have not been exalted. There are many people today that have 1,001 ideas that would have changed their world. But everywhere they submit their proposal, it is trashed. And they are wondering, why would these doors not open? Why would these opportunities not be given? Because God will not exalt you. God will only exalt you when your motives are pure. God will only exalt you when your hands are pure. So quit the wrong prayers. You have been praying for 10 years. Open doors for me. You have been praying for 10 years, exalt me. And the Bible is telling you, the man that will stand upon his holy heels is a man with a pure hands. Is a man with a clean heart. So what you should start praying now is, Lord, purify me. Lord, purge me. Did you not read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 18? It said, if a man purges himself, he said that man is meet and qualified for the master's use. That means when your life is full of garbages, the focus of God is not your exhortation. The focus of God is actually your purification. Because if God exhorts you in error, you are finished. Did you not read about Adam? God created Adam to rule over the whole earth. In fact, when God blessed Adam, he said, have dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the water, and everything that creepeth upon the face of the earth. The moment Adam defied himself, God drove him out of the garden and sent him into obscurity. Why would God send a man designed to rule over the earth into obscurity? Because if that man is exalted in error, he will be eternally condemned. There are most of us today that the level of money we should handle, God himself is the one stopping us from handling it. Because if we handle that money today, it will fester our corrupt nature, and a point will come we will never be redeemed again. Most of us, the ideas we have today, the president of nations are supposed to come for it. But God will insist it doesn't happen. Because if that level of influence comes, we will never be recovered again. We will be so lost that even if the whole power in heaven were to be channeled in our direction, we will be beyond recovery. So what God will do is that he will keep those doors waiting for the day that you are purified. And the day you are purified, like the twinkling of an eye, things just changes. And you are wondering, is it so easy for me to have a breakthrough? Yes, it's that easy. But it is difficult for you to be transformed. That's why God faced the difficult part first. The moment your transformation is ensured, your change comes to you by free course. Believers focus on the wrong things. They focus on the wrong things. They focus on the wrong things. You have not been able to deliver yourself from the influence of clubbing, and you are telling God to empower you so that you will build a club in your own house. You have not yet been delivered from the influence of womanizing. You are telling God to breed upon this your idea to become a global vision, so that you start camping Brazilian ladies, Turkish ladies, Ethiopian ladies. You will travel for 1 year, they will not see you. The next time you return, your first son will be in Congo, your second son will be in Italy, your third son will be in Ethiopia. And at the end of the day, you empower all of them and they bring chaos into the world. God has seen the end. His name is Alpha Omega. And because he has seen the end, he wants to work on you first before he empowers you. Because the man that will stand upon the holy mountains of God is the man that is of a pure heart. You know, people see the men God uses
in politics, in ministry, in commerce, and they are wishing they should be the one. Go and find out how God dealt with those men. That's why now that they have been exalted, those things mean nothing to them. You are seeing the car they are driving. You are seeing the suits they are wearing. That's what's motivating you. Those things mean nothing to them. In fact, those things are camouflage. They need to wear them because of where they are operating. You see a man carry escorts. It's not for luxury. The level where he is now, there are too many people trying to destroy him. So he needs some form of security around him. But in your loftiness of mind, you'll see the military escort as prestige. And then you are seeing yourself, you will go nowhere. When you meet that man, what troubles him night and day is how the lives of people will be changed. When you see him come up with an invention, it's not because he's looking for money. He's thinking of better ways of improving the lives of people. And the more he thinks on these things, the more ideas come to him. But somebody else is looking for the next innovation that will make him the youngest millionaire. Vanity upon vanity. Vanity upon vanity. That's why we go nowhere. When your motives are purified, God begins to empower you. Number two, when your motives are purified, God begins to give you creative ideas. Most of the inventors today, they were not thinking invention. They were actually thinking of improving the lives of humanity. So somebody see people trekking, riding on horses for 2 months to get to a location, and is wondering, how can human beings get to their destination faster? How can human beings be saved from the peril of the crisis of having to travel long distances going through deserts? And as he's there thinking, he looks at a bird and he said, birds fly. Is it possible for metals to fly? And on the strength of that, ideas began to come. What he's trying to deal with is the problem of transportation, not just to be called another inventor. And as those things burden him, it triggers into creativity. But you will never think like that until you are purified. Because if you are not purified, you will keep thinking self. And the more you think self, the smaller you become. So creativity is one of the byproducts of those who are purified. Because when they are purified, they quit thinking themselves, they start thinking others. And the moment they start thinking others, things begin to open up for them. Let me give you an instance of certain men in scripture. And then you see the level of power and creativity they worked in. The first man is Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6 verse 5, the Bible said, in Babylon, which is a nation of corruption, it said they could not find an occasion against Daniel. This is a man living in the belly of corruption. And he was not just living in one corner. He was a prime minister. He was an active politician. But they said they could not find an occasion against Daniel except in his consecration to his God. What level of purity is that? In fact, in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible said Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not defy himself with the portion of the king's meat. So it was not something happening by coincidence. It was a deliberate stand taken by Daniel. I am in Babylon, but I will not be corrupt by Babylon. And 2 verses after, you will hear that Daniel and his friends were 10 times better than their peers. They entered an overwhelming level of mental power that they were 10 times. And their peers are not people reading books. These were astrologers. These were witches. People that had a spiritual advantage because of purity. The Bible said Daniel and his friends became 10 times better than them. That means any thought these men have, Daniel was already 10 times ahead. Any idea they have, Daniel is 10 times better. What kind of mental power is that? It was born out of a proposition that they will not defy themselves. The reason our generation is going backward is because corruption and decadence is taking the center seat in our hearts. Have you not noticed? Go to the universities today. You hardly find people having breakthrough
in different aspects of science, in different aspects of education. Why? Because our campuses today is being replaced by fornication and immorality. So the kind of mental power people had in those days is no longer there. Have you found any student who clubs, fornicates, come out with an A? You can't do it. It eats your soul. Paul said, flee youthful lust that wages war against your soul. It kills your mind. But when you begin to consciously live a pure life, your mind starts being empowered. Daniel is a graphic example in scripture. And he was not just creative. This guy ruled Babylon. And Bible history will let us know that he was relevant to the government of Babylon for 65 years. He saw four different kings rise and fall. What kind of authority is that? And it's not like the Bible told us that this guy was specially gifted. We were only told that he refused to defile himself. We were only told that he committed himself to God in prayer. And suddenly, the king could do nothing without Daniel. In fact, a point came, the Bible said, the king thought to himself to make him president over all the realms. If you begin to give attention to purifying yourself and refusing yourself to be defied, you will be shocked the level of inventive power that will come to you, because a lot is tied to your purity. Praise the Lord. It's beyond just coming to church and receiving impartation and falling down. If you keep your vessel, you become a junction of inspiration. God will load you with inspiration. Angels will load you with inspiration. You will see creativity in everything. And nothing empowers a man like wisdom. Solomon was wise and he was so powerful at the same time. Because with wisdom comes power and influence. David had to fight 44 battles. Solomon never fought one. His wisdom provided peace and security for all his bounds. In fact, the opposing kingdoms came to him with gifts just to marvel at his nation and at his kingdom. There is a level of wisdom that our generation cannot tap into because we are too corrupt. And there's a level of influence we will not have except as that wisdom comes to us. And as that wisdom comes to us, suddenly we become relevant. In fact, during the COVID lockdown, they considered the church as a non-essential. I know it's the devil trying to undermine the church. That's the gate of hell. But on another note, what did the church do about it? What? They consider, if wise men, if inventors, if creative people are coming out of the church every day, come on, they can't try it. They can't try it. Look at our world today. They talk about energy. They are godless people. They talk about computer creativity. They are godless people. But it was not so in the beginning. At first, all the inventors, all the wise men came from the church. What has happened to the church? Because we have taken purity to the backstage. And the more the church grows in corruption, the less their wisdom grows. The owner of Microsoft is not a Christian. Enter the crypto world today. The leaders are not Christian. They are talking about transportation, going to the moon. It's people like Elon Musk that are powering it. The direction the world is going, it looks as if the church is oblivious to it. The world finance is turning from physical cash to cashless policy to electronic money. And the people heralding it, they are not from the church. And at the end of the day, we fight it. After 10 years, we come back to use it. The reason is because our creative power is not just tied to reading. Our creative power is tied to our purity. Because every time the church emphasizes purity, there is a wisdom investment that is given to the church.
Daniel was 10 times better than his colleagues because of purity. Number two, you look at Joseph. In Genesis 39 verse 9, he said, how can I do this wicked thing and sin against God? How can I do this wicked thing and sin against God? What? You are about to be exalted in a house. You were sold into a country as a slave. The only opportunity you have, you are turning it down because of your purity. Are you crazy? But the young man would rather remain a slave than to defile himself or to do evil against his master. And as if God was unfaithful, they bundled him, accused him, labeled him a rapist for 14 years, threw him into prison. A slave, as if that status was not enough, he was now labeled a rapist, attempting to rape his master's wife. He carried that stigma for 14 years. He was thrown into the prison. Nobody cared about him. But he would rather keep his purity. Even if he lost everything, he will not lose his purity. And something happened in Psalm 105 from verse 17. The Bible said, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. He said, the king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance. He gave him authority to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. But what conferred upon him that power? When the king sent for him, I had a dream. What does your dream mean? He interpreted the dream by the instrumentality of a gift that God gave him. But the gift was not what exalted him. It was wisdom that exalted him. After he interpreted the gift, he said, let the king look for a wise man that will be able to look over the affairs of Egypt. And immediately the king said, who in this land is wiser than you? And he put him in charge of Egypt. Where did that wisdom come from? Why will I do this wicked thing against God, against my master, and sin against God? He bore that reproach for 14 years. But what came out of that reproach was to become the ruler over Egypt. A day came, he bought all the land of Egypt, except the land of the priest. A day came, he bought the whole Egyptian, and he literally became the owner of Egypt. That level of power did not come because he read the book of the astrologers. That level of power came because he refused to defile himself. You don't know what you have lost by just allowing that foolish young boy to come and take away your virginity. You don't know what you have lost by allowing yourself on a weekly basis to go to the bed of immorality, to continue in that lying, to continue in that exaggeration. You don't know what you have lost. There are many pastors on the altar. They lie about testimonies that never happen. They exaggerate over things that never happen. They think by exaggerating, the people will think of them as big. Honor does not come from your exaggeration. He said, promotion does not come from the south, nor the east, nor the west. He said, promotion cometh from the Lord. When you stay pure and keep yourself humble under God, when God decides to shift you, even your enemies will be compelled to serve you. The wealth of purity have not been revealed to the church. A young boy becoming a ruler in a nation he was sent to as a slave. What human connection can turn a slave to the second in command? Pharaoh himself said, you are answerable to no one except me and the throne. Even the Potiphar that bought him became his steward. What human connection can confer that? Somebody will live here today and pay the price to purify his or herself. You may not know what you've lost. There are many ideas in your spirit that will never be crystallized because your impurity is fighting your creativity. And as it fights your wisdom, fights your creativity, it's fighting your influence. People are not exhausted. Do you think God helps us? Do you think God helps us just because we preach good messages? What are we preaching that have not been preached? What are we preaching? Go online and find out the stuff that is on the internet. The teachers that have walked through this world and their messages have been preserved. Go on the internet, you will be shocked. Sit down and listen to Zach Poonen. Listen to Derek Prince. Sit down and listen to David Posse. Go and sit down and listen to some of these guys on the internet, Madame Guyon. Go and hear what they have preached. Go and listen to Robert Law. And you will find out that our generation have not even started reading the Bible. Go and listen to Watchman Nee. And then you will know you didn't come for a meeting because of message. If it's about message, there are technocrats, biblical technocrats, that have stuffed the internet with materials. You think God exhort men because they are preaching a message that has not been heard? When a man walks in purity, God literally puts his dread upon him. The people will reverence him, they won't know why. They will honor him, they won't know why. Sometimes you are listening to the message, you can't even take any note, but you cannot but listen, because God has put something there. You don't know what you are missing by allowing yourself to be defied. Daniel said, we will not defy ourselves with the portion of the king's meat. Joseph said, I will not do this wicked thing and sin against God. The end of such men usually is greatness. Did you notice that both of them were slaves? No human connection, no advantage. They were not even in their own country. They were sold as slaves to foreign lands. But in those foreign lands, without human connection, purity guaranteed them the highest place in those nations, because they stepped into wisdom that nobody had. In fact, the queen herself testified concerning Daniel. He said, in him is the spirit of the holy gods. He said, light and understanding, excellent wisdom is found in this Daniel. He said, he has the ability to dissolve doubts and to explain hard sentences. That's a queen giving record about a man who is supposed to be a slave. Don't allow the devil rob you of your inheritance because of those evil desires. Don't allow the devil rob you of your inheritance because of that 1 month relationship that is targeted at taking your greatest wealth. Someone called me last night, was weeping. They went for NYSC camp for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And she lost her virginity. She was the flower 2 weeks. Because she thinks it's about pleasure. How can you lose your virginity in 2 weeks? Because people are not taught the wealth of purity. They think they can come to God and say, I'm sorry, it's gone. You are joking. Did you not read that even in heaven, there is a portion reserved for the virgins? It's not about forgiveness. God will forgive you, but you will never become relevant in this kingdom. He said the heir, so long as he's a child, is not different from a servant, even though he's Lord of all. God will place you under tutors and governors until what ought to be done is done. His mercy will forgive you, but his justice system will never allow you to be exalted. Because when you do, you will lead others into iniquity. Too important. The life of God is in you. The wisdom of God is in you. The glory of God is in you. But can you let your light shine? One of the ways to let your light shine is like Paul, bring your body under subjection so that God can glow through you. You don't know we are in the dark, in the world of darkness. I was sharing with God's servant yesterday. In Isaiah 60 verse 1, he said, you arise, shine. It's your responsibility to arise. God won't lift you up. He said, you arise, shine. That means if you don't arise, you can't shine. Your shining is tied to your rising up. And one of the ways to rise is through purity. He said, for your light is come.
That means your light can come, yet you are not shining. Your prophetic word has come, but you are not shining because you have not arisen.
And he said, there is darkness upon the earth and upon the people. He didn't say darkness. He said gross darkness.
That darkness is why people cannot believe in iniquity. But a generation will rise that will beat their body and bring their body under subjection. A generation will rise that will purge themselves so that they are worthy vessels in the hands of God.
God has visited us in this conference. There have been impartations. There have been healings. There have been power release. But there is one more thing that God needs to do for us. We need to present our hearts before the Lord and hold on to the horns of the altar this morning and tell the Lord, every area of defilement, Father, purge me. I want to walk out of this conference and take a turn in righteousness, holiness, purity, and sanctification. I know my tongue has become an instrument of lies. I know my eyes have been gazing on iniquity. I know my soul has been lifted in vanity. My body has been defiled. But Father, let your fire that purifies, purify me this morning. And give me the opportunity to do it again. This time, by grace. You want to come up to the altar this morning and make that commitment to the Lord. This is the last thing I will have you do before I close my chapter in this conference. You know there is an area of your life that you cannot testify of publicly yourself. You know there's an area of your life where the devil is still ruling over. He says, submit to God. Then you can resist the devil. You can't resist the devil by just shouting. He says, submit to God. Then you can resist the devil. There are some of us that our eyes have been defiled. Some of us, our tongues have been defiled. Some of us, our thought patterns have been defiled. Our bodies have been defiled. And there are some of us that have never even called Jesus Lord before. This is our opportunity this morning. You want to come up and make a commitment to the Lord and have me pray for you. This morning's impartation is not take fire. No. It's rededication, reconsecration, and re-empowerment. You want to come to the front? Come now. Let me pray with you. Elohim Adonai. We don't need to sing, because those singing may need to come forward. Let me do the singing now. Elohim Adonai. If you're online and you want to make this commitment, you can keep your phone or your device before you and rededicate yourself to the Lord. I want to pray for the hand of God to break yokes and addictions, to break besetting sins, to purge us afresh, and to make us usable vessels. You have defrauded people. You have scammed people. You have lied to people. Your body has been defiled. Your eyes have been defiled. You can even be a leader. Don't deceive yourself. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Some people are being held back by Satan. Not to come forward. They know their lives are full of garbage. This is an opportunity. You know, the reason I do these things is because many years ago, one of my friends who were given to evangelism, and he saw a young man selling recharge cards. And God told him, go and lead that boy to Christ now. And he said he was going for cell meeting. That when he's done, he will come back and win him. And while he was coming back from the cell meeting, the young guy was rushing to cross the road to sell recharge card. He was knocked down and killed. He said, today is the day of salvation. He now went further. He said, now. Nobody prays for evil. But this may be the last time you will hear this. You know, people take eternal things for granted. You are repenting in your heart, you are a hypocrite. That's not the instruction. The Holy Ghost didn't instruct me to tell you to repent in your heart. That's another layer of pride. Because you feel you are so big. People shouldn't say you. He said, if you are ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Heavenly Father and His angels. I'm giving you one more minute. You know you are supposed to make a commitment to the Lord. This is your time. Come up and tell Jesus, I surrender. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Thank you, Father. I'll lead you to pray, and then I'll pray for you. When I pray for you this morning, some of the things that God has given to me, I will hand it to you. You know, Paul said, the things you have received from me before many witnesses, he said, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. That's what I'll give you this morning. Some of you will live here, the grace to understand and to expound the mysteries of God will come upon you. Some of you, the grace to be on fire and to set others on fire will come upon you. Some of you, the grace to heal the sick by the Spirit will come upon you. Diverse things will happen with you. Some of you, God will put speed on your life. What takes others time will not take you time. By the Spirit, it's a grace. It's a grace. It will fall on you this morning. But you have come out to rededicate yourself. Put your hand on your chest. Just as a sign of surrender. No ritual about it. On ground, online. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning as a sinner. Lord, I believe in my heart that you died for my sins and that you were raised from the dead for my justification. And so, therefore, this morning, I receive eternal life into my spirit. Now, the power of sin over me is broken. The influence of demons over me is broken. I step into the family of God and I live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every yoke of the devil in my life this morning is destroyed. From today, I live the victorious life that is in Christ Jesus. I receive authority to live above sin. I receive authority to live the faith life. And I receive authority to live above demons
Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. I'll pray with you now. You just stay calm and sensitive. I want to put something on your life. Some of you, you will sense it like chills, cold water running through your body. Some of you will sense it like fire. I won't say further so that I don't use my words to manipulate your action. Father, such as I have, I give to these ones. Lord, this very minute, I pray that these ones are kept and preserved by the power of the Holy Spirit. They will not return to those besetting sins. The yokes upon their lives are hereby declared broken. I break addictions from pornography, from immorality, from lying, from fear, all sorts of addiction. I take authority over you, the spirit behind them. Be bound in the name of Jesus. I lose you to live the life of liberty that is in Christ Jesus. And so right now, precious Father, such as I have, I give to them. Every one of them standing now. Lord, I release your fire upon them. Somebody receive the fire of God's Spirit now. You will not only be on fire, but you will set others on fire. In the name of Jesus, take that grace. Somebody receive the anointing to heal the sick and to cast out demons. The same authority I walk in by the Spirit of the living God, I bring you into that authority now. In the name of Jesus, take that impartation. Precious Holy Spirit, somebody receive the grace now to understand spiritual things, the depths of spiritual realities. Step into it now. The realms of the spirit open to you. The gate of spiritual understanding open to you. The depths of spiritual knowledge, receive the capacity to explore them now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just stay calm for a moment and allow the Holy Ghost touch you. I'm seeing somebody receiving an apostolic grace. It's an apostolic authority. He will walk in apostolic authority. The same order that I walk in, on ground and online. Father, that man to rest upon that one now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I release that impartation by the Spirit of God. Take that mantle. Just stay calm for a moment and allow the river of God to run through your heart. Allow the river to run through your heart. Allow the river. Allow the river. Allow the river. Allow the river to run through your heart. Just stay calm. Please don't be distracted. God is working on your soul. Some of you, addictions are breaking now. Addictions. Things that have troubled you for years. Pornography, masturbation, porn. The proclivity and tendencies of porn. I break them now. Some of you, evil thoughts, evil concupiscence, demonic thoughts that have made your heart an incubation ground. I break it from you now. Leave him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody is receiving a fresh fire. It's a fresh baptism. The hand of God comes upon you. You start speaking in tongues and prophesying. Because from today, a river has opened in your spirit. From today, I open that river. I open that river. Receive a fresh baptism. Receive a fresh baptism. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Fresh grace. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Every other person, lift your hands toward heaven. You have come to receive from the Spirit of God this morning.
my God. I'm seeing something that is flowing like a river. It's like a liquid flowing. Please lower the keyboard a bit. I'm seeing something flowing like a river. And so I know that God is bringing somebody into the realm of inspirations. You will know. In John chapter 6 verse 6, he said himself knew what he should do. As you are leaving this conference, be it ministry, be it business, whatever it is you are involved in righteousness, you will know what you should do. And so I stretch hands over you now. Please be sensitive and receive. I stretch hands over you now. That river of inspiration that is flowing, in the name of Jesus the Lord, take that impartation. Ever. Some of you, the devil have attacked your mind. It's becoming difficult for you to think creatively. It's even becoming difficult for you to remember things. Your creative energy that is being sapped out, I stretch hands over you and I provoke a refill in the name of Jesus. Step into a new realm of inspiration. Thank you, Father. So let it be written, and so let it be established in Jesus' precious name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.